The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And welcome. We have made it to Thursday, middle of the month, middle of the college football season, and we are fired up tomorrow, live from Athens, before the big Kentucky-Georgia weekend. Great to have all of you with us. A number of guests will be joining us shortly, but let's start with the big game of the weekend, and it's all about the Georgia defense. Isn't just good, it might be best ever good. That according to 538. It is truly remarkable when you look at, they're only giving up 5.5 a game. The 11 Alabama team, we all thought that was the greatest ever, gave up 8 points a game, and nobody has even been close. Can Kentucky change those dynamics? Don't forget Florida around the corner, so they will start seeing some better offenses, but is it going to really matter when it comes to this almost impenetrable defense? Speaking of Kentucky, Mark Stoops has brought winning and fun back to Kentucky. I joked with him the other day, we're going to have to start calling him Bear Stoops. He didn't like that. Here's why. He's got a few numbers up there, but compared to the Bear, he's got a little bit to go. He does have some pretty strong credentials, but I will tell you this, a win over Georgia, and we might put a houndstooth hat on Coach Stoops. Lane Kiffin, Josh Heupel, first one to 60 wins. This is a matchup we did not think would be all that great, but now we do. Kiffin returns to Knoxville. Remember, his son is named Knox. Knoxville resides in Knox County. But Josh Heupel's the mayor of Knoxville right now, not Lane Kiffin. The man or the mayor of Happy Valley, James Franklin, at least for now, his term could be coming to an end with other offers, but he's not happy. He's not happy at all that Iowa folks accused him and his team of faking injuries.
But your son's down on the field with an injury, and I just told you PJ Mustipher is done for the year, and we're booing. Is that good for college football? Is that good for college football? Now, again, from a strategy standpoint, would it be strategic for us to tell PJ Mustipher to go down and fake an injury? One of our best players, one of our starters, one of our captains. Does that make sense? If you're gonna do it, you wouldn't do it with your starter, your captain. I get it. And how it may have looked, I get it. I'm telling you, we don't coach it. We don't teach it. And may it look that way because it was a bunch of injuries in the game? I get it. There's a bunch of injuries in the game, but 70% of those guys never returned. So all I'm saying is I don't think this is right for college football. If a player goes down and it's my son and the stadium's booing him.
Nobody does outrage better than James Franklin, for now, still the Penn State coach. Let's get to the guest list and then your phone calls. Andy Staples, always good for some chuckles. Stephen A. Smith is not on the show today, but Stephen M. is. Ivan Mazel returns after a long absence, and Champ Bailey, he's a Hall of Famer in both college and pro ball. He's a Georgia great. We'll get his take on the big weekend and the Dogs. And your phone calls, 855-242-7285. Let's begin with Kyle, who is in Alabama. Hello, Kyle.
Paul, how are you?
Quite well, thank you.
Well, they were talking about the injuries in the Penn State, faking injuries in the Penn State-Iowa game. You can go back to the Texas A&M-Alabama game. Texas A&M defensive players were falling down after Alabama had got 6 and 7 yard gains. And then the very next play, they were just running back onto the field like nothing happened. So, I mean, the coach and all of them have a point about the players faking injuries and all that because, I mean, you see it a lot now. So the only way that stuff like that's going to get fixed is if they change the rule where the player has to sit out for a couple more plays if they tend to fake injuries like that, because Texas A&M was doing it all night. They were faking injuries left and right, coming right back into the right back on the field. But that's still not an excuse for why Alabama should lose the football game. And then, you know, Paul, you was on the show the other day with Miss Heather talking about y'all had bet the house on Alabama not making the playoff. Did I hear that correctly?
Well, let me explain. The segment was introduced as, would you bet your house on Alabama being in or out of the playoffs? I would never bet my house on anything. So I mean, that's a little bit hyperbolized, but we did say what you heard us say, though.
Right. I just, you know, these rankings, they really don't mean nothing to me. I mean, Alabama still controls their own destiny. They got to win out and then play Georgia, hopefully.
Well, let me ask you, Kyle. I realize you're a fan. That's great. That's what we have watching and listening right now. So in your heart of hearts, you believe Alabama will still make it to the playoffs?
If Alabama can just get to Atlanta, we all know that Georgia will choke it away. They choke it away every time they play Alabama, whether it be in Atlanta or whether it be on 2nd and 26 for the national championship ball. Everybody knows Georgia can't close the deal. And I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan also. And, you know, Georgia's just like the Dallas Cowboys. They roll through the season, but when it gets to the playoffs and it gets to the big games, they'll choke it away. Roll Tide, Paul.
Pat is up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul, thanks. I beg to differ on that. However, I had a double hernia repair this morning, and I'm on pain pills and ice, but talking to you for a few minutes is the best medicine, so here goes.
Well, thank you. By the way, if today's show's like yesterday's, I may need some of that pain medicine to get through the end of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, I think I'm all in on Georgia, and you are too. And I think it'll be, 35-38-10 Saturday. And Georgia is going to make it all the way to the Natty. I think Alabama is still in control of its own destiny, okay? It's still Nick Saban, and it's still Alabama. And I think we're going to meet them in the SEC championship. And I think Kirby's going to beat Nick this year. And that will probably put them out of the Natty. Your thoughts?
Yeah, everything is based on today, Pat. And a week ago, I probably would have disagreed. But you cannot argue with what Georgia is doing. It's historic. And we're not even really seeing their best effort on offense yet. And I think that will still to come. Ron is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Ron, what a pleasure to hear your wonderful voice.
Well, thank you so much. It has been a while, but my goodness, I'm on cloud nine, being the oldest UK fan of all your listening and viewing audience.
Okay, just for the record, how old are you?
I am 86, Paul.
86 years old. And you're the one.
And I have been
just a few years my senior. Didn't you challenge me to like a race or something not long ago?
I did, Paul, and I just competed in the Kentucky Senior Olympic Games.
Okay.
And came away with 10 gold medals in track and field. And you have agreed to race me in the 100-meter dash, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, well, yeah, I was in Kentucky last week, and I'm glad we didn't race. But so just out of curiosity, what is your 100-meter time?
It's 16.5. Can you run a 16.5 100-meter dash?
I think I can do it.
Okay. Then, by golly, you're on.
Now, I am. Now,
and
in
Paul,
fairness,
I
am more of a long-distance runner, but I think I could find a little bit of speed. I mean, I'm going to let you start out
you
in
could.
Front just to let you set the pace, and I don't want to be ahead of the – all I want to do is be ahead of the finish line.
Right. Well, you're 20 years my junior.
Well, yeah,
Paul,
no, I mean,
so
that's fair. That's fair.
Little...
But, yeah, I've got a. Okay, we'll do it. Hey, listen, whenever, when the time, I'll have to time myself just to make sure I'm not walking into a trap here.
Okay, Paul, well, I'll tell you, I am such a. On a high with Kentucky being 6-0 and playing the number one team in the country this coming weekend.
Okay, well, thanks, Brad. Yeah, the world record's like 9-1. No, the world record might be closer to about 9-8. But I think I can. I tell you, if I can't beat an 86-year-old, then I'm going to retire from running. We're heading to a break. More to come on the program. 855-242-7285. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Texas, as we continue here on a Thursday afternoon. Hey, Trey. Trey is up next. Hey, Trey.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I just want to tell you, Paul, you know, we usually don't like bandwagon fans at Texas A&M. We're kind of closed ranks, if you will, but you look pretty damn good in that maroon blazer and tie.
I decided, why not? I mean, I might as well be an Aggie. Gig 'em.
Well, thanks a lot, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Howdy back. Yeah. One thing, we always try to be careful when we're on the road at a site not to wear the colors, but I figured today, you know, why not try to look like a born and bred Aggie. Let's continue. John is in Louisville. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon. And I do have the answers to the SEC fines. Apparently, Mississippi, you're fined more when you get a second incident. So back in 2018, a few fans came down onto the field for Mississippi State victory.
Okay.
And they should have appealed it because, therefore, they had to pay $250,000 the second time around. And
yeah,
the
something tells me that they'll get over that.
Yeah, well, yeah. And the money goes to the SEC Postgraduate Scholarship Fund.
Okay.
Wherever that is. Anyways, my question to you is, I think James Franklin will be part of that bidding war between LSU and USC. And where do you think he'll go more than likely? And I realize there are other good candidates. Also, Tom Herman, I'd love to see him back in college coaching. But you've got Matt Campbell, and I think Luke Fickle maybe could take the Penn State job after. But what are your thoughts on those two big openings? And I think there will be a bidding war.
Yeah, I think there will, too. I think Franklin will go to L.A. I just think that I'm not saying he wouldn't do well at LSU. I think he would. But I just think he's from Pennsylvania. And, you know, he's been at Vanderbilt. He's been here, been a couple other places. I see him gravitating toward that. But you're right, though. If he does leave, that Penn State job is really good. And I think Fickle is more suited for that, being a Midwestern guy, than maybe he would be for SC or somewhere else.
Right. They gave him the keys to the Ohio State job, and he rammed the car into the tree.
I don't think he was ready for that. A little bit like Lane Kiffin at Southern Cal.
Right.
I mean, today Lane Kiffin is, I mean, I think he could coach any job anywhere, but he just wasn't prepared. Even though he had been at the Raiders briefly, it was just too soon for him.
Would Woodward hire him at LSU?
Kiffin at LSU?
Yeah.
I think his name is definitely going to be mentioned, yes.
Oh, great. Hey, I look forward to seeing you on campus tomorrow. Have a great
day. Thank you. I cannot wait. Great to talk to you. Eddie in Oklahoma. Hello, Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. I'm going to crash the party here. I'm a Norman, Oklahoma guy, Sooner. And actually, I know you have a lot of Southeastern Conference. I won that contest last night on local station. Who was the last undefeated coach, you know, for Kentucky? And it's at 6-0, so one of many national championships. But I got a question for you. And just tell me if you think this is realistic. And we got two significant players coming in. Okay, they have not, Oklahoma did not pass the test. All right, on their playoff appearances. Perhaps they were the best team in the nation in 2017, and Lincoln made the wrong call or froze up. I don't know. But, you know, this is going to be entirely different, playing this type of competition next year. I truly look at two conferences taking over the four spots. I think you may see a 3-1. I really do, in the near future. Three SECs in one. Can you see that?
No, not right now.
I mean, when we come in.
Oh.
When Texas and Oklahoma come in.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
I think you're going to – it's going to change the landscape a lot. You're going to see the Big Ten and SEC probably two and twos. It's going to be tough to get that spot from the Pac-12 and ACC. I don't know if you agree or not.
Let me correct myself. I do agree with that. That's why I think you're, even though everybody is sitting on the fence at the moment, we'll see an expansion because we'll have to have it.
Got to. And it's unfortunate that Bama has to play Georgia this particular year. If it was any other year, control your own destiny. I'm going to hack your fans off, but not this Georgia team.
Yeah,
they're not going to let you go.
You know, Eddie, thank you. These things happen every once in a while. And, you know, I think you could make the argument 2 years ago that LSU was in a category by themselves. And you know, Alabama played, you know, I mean, they had to climb their way back into that game, and Tua was banged up. But, you know, they did. But I'm not sure it would have been any different the second time around. And listen, things change. But, you know, 7-8 weeks away from the SEC championship game, I would agree with your assessment. That's why I think Alabama fans can hope and can say that Georgia is going to choke a game away like our first caller. But I don't know anybody that understands college football well that really believes that is going to happen. Thank you very much for the call. Let's continue. Robin is in Kentucky. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Paul. I was so glad to see you last Saturday, and thank you so much for putting that sign up for my dad's birthday.
Yeah, Robin,
it thrilled him to death.
your dad had it. Was it 85th birthday, Robin?
86.
86. Okay.
Yeah.
It was certainly. I can't tell you how inspiring it was to see you. And it was. I know what you've been through. That doesn't mean I understand it and can relate to it. But I do appreciate that journey that you've been on, and I know how inspirational it's been to your friends and people that have been around you.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to tell you, my son was very impressed with you. He was like me. You always can't wait to see somebody that you admire, and then you. Sometimes when you meet them in person, they don't quite, you know, they're rude or something, not quite as, but you were just so, just like you are on TV and so nice. And we really appreciated that. And you taking the extra time to do that for my dad, that meant a lot. And I started back chemo Tuesday But I'm feeling pretty good, and I got to go to the LSU-Kentucky game. That was so exciting, and I don't think our guys are going to be able to pull it out this weekend, but I'm so proud of them up to this point. They've played their hearts out, and I hope they can pull an upset, doing Texas A&M, I don't know. But I just wanted to thank you again, Paul, and it meant so much to me to do that for my dad. So
Robin,
I'll let you go, and you have
And you be well, and we'll be thinking of you as you go through this part of your journey. But it was so great to see you, Robin. Thank you and your son, and glad we were able to say hello to your dad on television with the sign. We will take a break. Andy Staples joining us shortly. We have a lot more to do here in the next 3.5 hours.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
To have Andy Staples with us as we reach the midpoint of the college football season. Andy, so good to have you on. And I don't know. With you, I always hate to start with the most obvious question. But what are you intrigued by right now as we head into the week seven of the college football season? Good afternoon.
Oh, I'm intrigued by a lot, especially in the SEC this weekend, because how does Alabama bounce back at Mississippi State and, you know, what can be a pretty tough environment against a defense that Zach Arnett's defense, people call it kind of like the triple option of defenses. It's one of those you got to be pretty careful in terms of preparation. And so, you know, how does that offense recover? Because it was as surprised I was at how Zach Calzada just came on and kind of blossomed before our eyes in that Alabama game. I was also surprised at how well Texas A&M got to Bryce Young and how much they disrupted Alabama's offense and got pressure. So, you know, what is Mississippi State going to do? Because that's a good defense with pretty good up front, very good corners. You know, are they going to be able to keep Alabama scoring down, or is Alabama going to be able to fix some of the things that were plaguing them against A&M? That one, and then obviously Florida LSU, because I think under a lot of circumstances and with most ADs and most situations, that game at Kentucky would have been it for Ed Orgeron. But I know Scott Woodward has not fired a coach midseason yet. He didn't do it with Ty Willingham. He didn't do it with Kevin Sumlin. And also, there's not an obvious interim. I know it's Mickey Joseph if you go to the organizational chart, but that doesn't seem like the easiest thing to do. So, you know, if Florida comes in there and wins the way Vegas is predicting they will, and you know, 11 a.m. local start could be a few empty seats at Tiger Stadium. If that happens, do you do it then? Because it sure seems like it's a fait accompli at this point.
Man, I love it when somebody uses words like that. My question, though, and this is just technical, but with one more game before the bye week, do you think losing to Florida at home would pretty well wrap it up? Or because, I mean, the Ole Miss trip would be a fait accompli, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. LSU still has enough talent, even though they've lost some of their best players. I mean, the Eli Ricks thing is just yet another blow. But they're still talented enough to beat most of the teams left on the roster under the right circumstances. But it's almost like the, you know, moon and stars are going to have to align for that to happen. It's actually somewhat – it feels a little similar, Paul. Remember going into the Florida game last year where that was when Eric Gilbert left the team that week, and they lost a bunch of guys before that, and it was and they sort of that sort of galvanized the team. And I kind of wonder, do they have a similar thing here? Watching the Kentucky game, I don't, you know, it's hard to predict that. I don't necessarily see that. But, yeah, I don't know if it matters when at this point. I just, I'm a big, if you got to do it, eventually you got to do it immediately kind of person. You know, Jeremy Foley at Florida used to say that. I believe Henry Kissinger coined it. But you kind of run the risk of something weird happening if you don't do the thing you were going to do eventually. I mean, LSU has a history of this, not with Scott Woodward, but back when Joe Oliva wanted to fire Les Miles in 2015, he floats it out there, you know, it gets written about, and locally it's all anybody could talk about. And if you talk to somebody from Louisiana during that period, it was like, oh yeah, they're going to fire Les Miles. They should have fired him years ago. And then that last week, when you get to the Texas A&M game, it starts to go national, and everybody nationally is like, why would you fire Les Miles? What are you thinking? And he gets carried off on everybody's shoulders, and now you're stuck with Les Miles for another offseason when you're going to fire him anyway. And sure enough, he got fired four games into the next year. So I don't think you leave the door open for weirdness if you know what you're going to do.
Understand. And losing, what would that be, three straight losses, two at home, four overall? I mean, there's really nothing left to figure out after that, is there?
No, I don't think so. I mean, and people will say, well, I can't believe you would fire somebody two years after winning a national title. It happened at Auburn. When it happened at Auburn, what happened next? Auburn won the SEC and was 30 seconds away from winning a national title. So they made the right choice in that situation. And at LSU, you know, I realize it's harsh and you know, they did just win a national title, but you should be really good at LSU every year. Like, that's the baseline. Really good is the baseline. And if you can't do that two bad years in a row, that probably is enough to convince them they got to make a move. Because, again, you should be really good every year with the level of talent you can get there.
Andy, flipping is over for a second, and I realize it's just today, but, I mean, if for some reason LSU wins this game,
it's going to get weird.
It wouldn't be that impossible.
No.
You know where I'm going, of course.
Oh, yeah, it'll get weird in Gainesville. I'll tell you that right now, because the fan base got really mad at Dan Mullen after the Kentucky game when I don't quite understand the fury of the backlash, because that's one of those that, first of all, you knew Florida was probably going to take a step back from last season because they were, I mean, offensively at least, they were historically good. And then they didn't bring in a bunch of five-star talent that suddenly was going to change everything. And everybody knew Kentucky was going to be pretty good this year. So I don't know why that particular loss stuck in everybody's craw so much, but it does feel like they kind of checked out at that point. And it's one of those deals where if, let's say that happened, I don't think Florida's going to lose this game, but if it happens, it's going to be because a bunch of really talented LSU players kind of got galvanized, kind of like last year, and beat Florida. And it's one of those things where Florida has the talent level of a Georgia or an Alabama, you're not in any danger of losing a game like that. You're just not. And that is sort of that's the crux of the matter when it comes to Dan Mullen in Florida. Nobody questions his ability to coach the team, his ability to design a great offense around the talent he has. I mean, he's one of the best in the country at that. It's you don't bring in the same level of talent that Kirby Smart and Nick Saban and Ed Orgeron do. And you got to be able to do both. Like, Ed Orgeron can bring in the talent and is struggling to coach it. Dan Mullen can coach it, but has not brought in talent at the same level as those guys. And I think that comes to a head probably in Jacksonville in a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, it's just one of those things that you try to look at both sides of every game. Let me ask you about the Dogs for a second, because you know, we're starting to hear people describe this team as something extraordinary, and the defense, I think, holds up a lot of that. But what is your view of Georgia right now? Are they built for a national championship?
I predicted they were going to win the national title before the season started, so I'm usually wrong on those sorts of things, so I'm sorry in advance, Georgia fans, for that. But No, I mean, this defense has been unbelievable so far, and I don't know if we've seen them really get challenged by a great offense yet. That'll happen. I mean, if they keep going the way they're going, they're going to make the playoff. They're going to have to play an Ohio State or an Oklahoma. They're going to have to play Alabama in the SEC championship game probably. So they're going to see explosive offenses. If they can do to them what they are doing to these other offenses, it'll be amazing. Because I thought that the game had evolved to a point where playing defense like that was no longer possible. I mean, you heard Nick Saban talking about it last year when he said that you just can't have the kind of defense you had at Alabama in 2011 and 2012. Well, Georgia's proving that wrong. Their numbers are similar to those defenses. But the difference is the offense is a little more explosive on the other side. Now, it's another question. If Georgia gets dragged into a shootout, if somebody can score on that defense, can Georgia's offense keep up? And I'd say from what we've seen, they probably can, especially as the season goes on and they get more players. You know, they've had so many playmakers out offensively. You know, Darnell Washington now getting back into the flow at tight end, and when you put him and Brock Bowers on the field at the same time, that's a pretty nasty group of tight ends. But at receiver, they should have even more help coming as the season goes on. And then Stetson Bennett, I asked this in a column today. I said, are we sure Stetson Bennett's not the starter? Or if he's not as good as JT Daniels and JT Daniels is healthy, and is something different when he gets back, how much scarier does Georgia get?
Good question. Outside of the SEC, Andy, you know, people love Cincinnati. They love Iowa. They love all these other schools. As far as the playoff is concerned, where do you think Cincinnati fits into all of this?
They got to go undefeated, and then – some other stuff's got to happen. It would probably help for them if Notre Dame could win every game. if Notre Dame wins out, they'd be 11-1. So Cincinnati would have a road win against an 11-1 team, which would look really good at the end of the year. I don't know that Notre Dame's going to do that. I mean, they struggled against Virginia Tech last week. The same stuff that caused them to struggle the first three quarters against Wisconsin and in the Cincinnati game is going to crop up as they go forward in the season. So they might wind up dropping one, but yeah. Cincinnati has the best chance, according to your own stats there at ESPN, Paul, has the best chance of anybody of winning out. They're like even a percentage point higher than Georgia's chances of winning out. So, you know, I think there's a good chance they're there, but it's probably going to take, you know, a lack of, a two-loss ACC champ. You may need to have a two-loss Pac-12 champ, like if Oregon were to drop another game. Something like that may still have to happen because, like, let's say Oregon wins out. Oregon went to Ohio State and won. So they would be a 12-1 Pac-12 champ with a win at Ohio State. Ohio State at that point might be the Big Ten champ, might be a playoff team. We don't know. But it's going to be hard for Cincinnati to get in over a team like that. If it comes down to one of them's got to be 4 and one of them's got to be 5, it's going to be hard.
Andy Staples, great to have you with us. Andy, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
Great stuff, as always. One of the best around. Andy Staples joining us. Your phone call is around the corner at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Be back. Harold is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Harold.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. It's my first time to call, and thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I've been an Alabama fan for all my life. I see coaching as the problem in Alabama right now. I really do. You look at, we got a NFL guy that's the offensive coordinator. top-notch NFL line coach, and our line could not block anybody. I mean, number 79 and 73 ain't blocked nobody all night. Saban is not coaching his coaches. If he is, he's not doing a good job of it. And the zeal that he's always had as a coach had his team fired up every time they walked on the field almost. This last week, three plays into the game or four, whatever it was, we get a targeting call. He didn't do anything. He just stands over and watches it. It was not a targeting call. He should have been screaming and hollering. I mean, I just don't see the zeal in Coach Saban that I've seen in the past. What say you?
Yeah, Harold, that is interesting because, you know, I think sometimes we are lulled to sleep by the aura of a coach. And I don't know, in all the years I've done this, I've ever heard anyone reasonably say what you have just got through saying. But I was the game was on right before we came on, and I was watching it pretty closely. Not that I haven't seen it a few times, but I did pick up on a couple of things. I didn't notice the Saban part, but I did notice the line of scrimmage problems. I'll have to dig a little bit deeper on him because I don't see anything that has happened that would cause him to be like that. Other than I saw him, let's see, a week and a half ago, almost 2 weeks ago in Tuscaloosa. He was very confident before the Ole Miss game. He had talked about the week of practice. He had talked about what they had learned from being on the road. I felt like I was so sure they would win that game, but that's not really that has nothing to do with A&M. I will say before the season, he seemed more relaxed. He seemed confident, but you never know what's going on a coaching staff, especially in the middle of the season.
You're right. And you know, maybe I'm being a little presumptuous. I don't know. But I see him still an Aflac like crazy.
Well, Nick Saban doesn't – he's got a team of people to defend him. He certainly doesn't need me, nor does he probably care. But I think in fairness, the Aflac thing is a contract that he signed a couple of years ago. I know for a fact that he has taped these commercials usually in July and usually right before the season. So even though you may see them every time you're watching a game, it's not like he just got through taping it on the way to the stadium. And I know that happens when things don't go well. We tend to throw – and I'm as guilty as everyone – but I don't think it's fair to criticize Nick Saban for doing the Aflac commercials.
Well, let me ask you this. You're a 17 to 22-year-old kid on the team. And you see Coach more interested in selling Aflac than he is helping your team. From what I'm seeing, you know, and I hope I'm wrong because
You may not remember, but I do. I mean, Paul Bryant was doing commercials in the early 80s for South Central Bell. Coaches have always done commercials. In fairness, I've never seen a commercial air as often as that one. Now, I'll agree with you on that.
That's my point. Yeah, that's the whole point. I mean, it's just sort of like it's just being wore out, you know. When you're getting beat, you don't want to see it.
No. Listen, I agree with you. And quite frankly, nobody, if Alabama was undefeated number one in the country, we wouldn't hear anything about the Aflac commercial. Booker is in New Jersey. Hello, Booker.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking it. I've tried several times this week. Just tell everybody, 2 weeks and 2 days ago, I told you there would be a major upset, and you said give your heads up, and I wouldn't.
I don't know why.
Hello?
Why wouldn't you tell me?
Well, okay, here's what it is. Tell everybody to cool it. It was a meeting took place, and that's what happened. Bear Bryant and Babe Parilli got together in Kentucky.
Okay.
The spirits of both of them. And Bear Bryant and John David Crowe, his only Heisman Trophy winner, and they said, not on my turf.
Right.
So it's over now. I can breathe easy. I was getting ready to take another Xanax on Monday, but finally Legend called in. I was trying to call and say, somebody go do a wellness call on him. And good luck to you with that pain, because there's...
Yeah, Booker, I hate to cut this off. It was going so well, but we are heading to a break, and we will get to the bottom of when exactly Nick Saban does those Aflac commercials. Stephen M. Smith is next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.